I won't. I won't. Okay, this is what I show. 2 Kings 11. I wish you could be patient with me even when the bride cries, Eve, the thicker I am a little foolish. The husband, the right God, I tell you, is pay the price again. Paul thinks the husband God die for my sin. The a little drink the wrong God, and the king will serve you. Oh, not the important Satan was thing is faith. The sainted was kind of faith. The angel don't works through love. 2 Kings 11 plays for God is the God is the place for the genie. Through the light of put the basket Jesus through a hole in the wall and lower the men down. So I seen cap from the governor. 2 Kings 11. I did not sleep. I have been hungry and thirsty many times. I have been without food. I have been cold and without clothes. Beside all the this is there is on me every day the loading of my content for all the churches. I feel weak every time someone is weak. I feel upset every time someone is led into sin. If I must bring, I will bring about the things that show my weak. God knows that I am monthly. He is the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is to be praised for. Amen.
Thank you, Olivia. So I think I can be succinct about this. I think, and I don't think I'm alone in this. I'm actually expecting to hear a lot of people come talk about the faith test that Tim was talking about towards the end of the series. And it's just really interesting also just talking about the actions part in particular, because I think so many of us, I mean, we've been Christians for a while. But it's a pointed question, you know, do your actions reflect that Jesus Christ is really Lord of your life? And I don't know. I mean, that's a lot of actions I do in a day. And, you know, how does that work and how does that come together? And I just appreciate you mentioned, I wanted to emphasize as well, just that I think what we're really looking for here is just like heart, relationship, attitude, what's going on inside us. And this is a thought that I've been having just recently, that I really actually kind of enjoyed, just that I think life is about learning to mature, right? You're born as an infant. No one expects you, you know, babies are not born and they start crying and parents say, oh, grow up. You know, it's expected. You're going to cry. You can't do anything for yourself. I love that part of life where you can put your kid down and that's just where they're going to be. They can't even roll over. Like, they are absolutely pinned to the ground by gravity. So where you put them, that's where they're going to be staying. What an amazing thing. And we grow from there. But physically, we're meant to grow and develop into people that can be kind of self-sufficient. We can take care of ourselves. And then as we continue to mature, we become able to take care of other people. And I think the same thing happens emotionally, but the weird thing is that things can happen to us along the way of growing up emotionally where we stop growing up emotionally. Trauma can happen. Bad things can happen to us. All kinds of things can stop us. But one of the key jobs of being young is to learn to internalize somebody's love. Usually that's a parent. We're supposed to internalize. Internalize means that we understand, it's not just that we know that our parents love us, but that we know it so strongly that we know it whether we're with them or whether we're away from them. We know that they love us if we do what's right. We know that they love us if we do what's wrong. We know that we can't do anything to separate ourselves from the love. We can definitely we can hurt the relationship, right? I know that my dad loves me. If I drive my car through his house, we'll probably have a couple rough days. You know, like I can certainly affect how our relationship is doing, but he's not going to stop loving me. That's how that works. That's what happens when we internalize love. Does that make sense? Tracking? Here's what's really fascinating. I've realized, just thinking about my relationship with my wife, that one of the weird things that happens is one of the signs that you have internalized love is that you take it for granted. You can't take it for granted if you're still not sure about it. There was a point that I was dating my wife and I wanted to woo her. I wanted her to know that I loved her. I wanted more of her love. I wanted more of that affirmation. But at a certain point, you're just like, she loves me. Of course she does. Guys, actually, that's a really interesting step in development. That's actually a really cool thing. It means that love has actually been internalized. But maturity then says, okay, I know that my wife loves me. What am I going to do? Take that for granted? It's not good to take it for granted. I know that I can, but I don't want to. This is my wife. I want to continue loving her well. And that's what I was thinking of when we were talking about the faith test here. Actions. How does this work? Guys, most of us have had a chance to experience, if we experience success or if we feel like we're on the right track or if we discover, hey, I think I'm growing. Part of growing is realizing that the more you grow, the more you need to grow. Part of becoming holy is kind of the more holy you get, the more holiness God allows you to experience, the more you realize you're not even close to holy. You got a long ways to go. So there's always going to be sin in our lives as long as we live in this cursed world. And what are we supposed to make out of that? We're always going to fall. Not that we always and only fall, but failure will always be a part of our lives. Some of our actions will always indicate that we're not following Jesus. What does that mean? Does that mean we don't love him? I just want to propose, I don't think that's the idea. I think the idea here is just, hey, are we maturing? Part of our failures are just indications that we're taking God's love for granted. In a relationship, that's supposed to happen. If we're internalizing his love and we're doing it correctly, we're supposed to, taking his love for granted is a sign that we are correctly internalizing his love. But maturity goes one step further. Maturity says, I now recognize that I'm taking your love for granted, and that's not my goal. That's not my purpose. That's not what I want to do. And so both things wind up being true. Yes, I still fail. There are times that my actions are not in line with what Christ wants for my life. But I believe and I hope that I am still maturing. Both things can still be happening. And so I just want to encourage us with that, guys. It's not an issue of like we have to make ourselves perfect. Not going to happen here. But also don't feel like that disqualifies us. Some of that's just the process. And we're going to be growing up until we get to him. It's going to happen. So in various degrees, that's the process. When you test yourself, don't ask yourself for perfection. Just ask yourself the question, how am I doing? How am I maturing? Am I taking his love for granted? There's an element of that that's good. But am I continuing to mature to the point that that's not my goal? I want to continue to love well, not take it for granted. That's my thought. It's like 10 minutes.
Nice job, Luke. Good job. Although I think if you drive your car through his house, he'll still be fine because he really likes his garage more. Ask him, like literally ask him. He loves his garage. It is intense. Hopefully, you drive into your garage rather than driving into your house. Might be better. So this series, the one that hit me the most, I think it was it 11 or 13? I think it was 11, where Paul is talking about all the things that have happened to him. Yeah, and just by golly. Of course, I shared on that week as well in that morning. But it really did just hit me just how much he had to go through. And then at the end of it, he's like, I'm not boasting about all that I've been through and I'm still here. I'm boasting in Jesus who gave me the ability to get through all of that and still be able to write this letter to you guys. It's manifested in my life a way, continued thought rather, that I need to be continually thinking about Christ. I have a lot of League of Legends coaching sessions with people, with teams, and I found that if I don't pray beforehand, I am very easily irritated by the players. And sometimes things don't go well. I got one player who's really on his high horse and he thinks he's got it all together. It irks me. But if I pray beforehand, I tend to be able to handle that player as well as the rest of the team, who are very good, but me not being as good as them, they still respond well when I pray first. At least that's what I've felt. Like yesterday, did not pray before my coaching session, and I felt like I did not do a very good job. Not on how I handled the players, but on how I handled the game. So really internalizes, I guess that's going to be a word for today, internalizes that I need to be making God not just a part of my life, but a part of every single day, of every single thing that is important to me as I go on throughout my day. When we get to a job site, we're praying, Lord, help us see what we need to see so that we can help our customer. When I get home, Lord, help me to help this group of five players do the best that they can. Like, literally, Jesus, what do I need to ban in this game right now? I've had that happen. Asked him specifically on a draft thing. It's a small thing. It's part of a game. Asked him specifically what I should get rid of, and he gave me the answer. And we stomped that series, which was awesome. God answers prayers. Even the small ones. So, just again, don't forget that it's Jesus we're boasting in. I could boast about, that draft. I did it. You know, I pressed the button. I did press the button to ban the guy. I did it. We won the draft. But God gives me the capabilities. I was having a mock conversation last night where it just kind of flowed out of me. Like, the reason that I coach the way that I coach is because God gave me the ability to coach these players in this manner. The reason I was having a mock conversation is because the guy's gamer tag was Lucifer Eyes, and I was thinking about bringing up, like, so is this a problem that I'm Christian? But never came up. It was all right. Having God as a part of my life, as a part of your life, and including him in everyday tasks, not just when you show up on Sundays, when you show up to life group, when you show up for Bible study, when you see that specific person from church who all you've ever talked about was the gospel, but every single day and every single activity, God can be a part of it. Jesus can be a part of it. We boast in him, not in ourselves.
for me. I knew there was a reason to come to church again today. Tim, thank you for what you said this morning. I've been lost again. I didn't know that my behavior has affected some people. Sorry. But I need to get this out. As a church family, I do have an alcoholic problem. And I have had a permanent home at not my house, but at a different place. And for me, if I'm going to be part of this church, I need to be honest with you guys. And this is really hard for me. I grew up in a bad home. I grew up in, as my stepdad trafficking me for how many years. And so for me, I don't know how to mentally, how to deal with it. Spiritually, I'm lost because I don't know how to ask for help. I'm so used to doing it on my own. And Tim and another church member, I thank you guys for acknowledging me for that problem. Because I didn't see it. I really didn't see it. I didn't see that it was affecting my daughter and it was affecting me. And I've asked Trudy and some other members to help me through this as sponsors. Because when I'm home, especially when 2 o'clock comes, I know where I need to be, but I don't need to be there. I need to be home for my daughter. Because I need to be that role model. And I haven't been lately. Instead, I've been an alcoholic mom. That's drowning. And for what you said this morning, yeah, it is free money. But I've been using that free money to pay rent at somewhere else, and I can't do that no more. Instead, I want to pay rent to my church. I have $10 to my name today. And you know what? That $10 is going to go to the church. I've been going through DTs for the last 4 days. I've been going through shakes. I've been going through the sweats. I'm sorry, guys, but you know what? I need your guys' help. Being an alcoholic mom sucks. And I hate my life right now because I need to be there for my daughter and I'm drowning really, really bad. I told Trudy this morning I would like to get a women's group put together where I can do more activities with you guys. And I don't have to be at that bar every single day. I don't want to be there. But for me, it's a medicated. I use it for medication. Because I don't know how, I don't know who I am anymore. And I'm sorry. But I got to be honest with you guys. If I'm going to be part of this church, I got to be honest. And I am an alcoholic mom.
Greater than her alcoholism, greater than her sin, greater than the secrecy and the lies. You, God, are greater. And I ask you, God, to be fighting for Billy and for Cheyenne and take her from victory to victory. Lord, we are looking forward to the future day when Billy Jean stands up.
Oh, I know that you are so aware of me and so you still are the one who was aroused from the boat and simply stood up and said, so to whatever degree that is your will, oh, that would be our great desire. Sometimes that's not your plan. And oh, what a purifying thing to bring upon a couple. Not wishing upon Amy, but I do ask you, God, if you give insight day by day by day. This really is where you become so precious to us. Your insight.
Well, my verse is the action part. When Tim talked about taking the test, I'm never sure if I'm really passing it, but I'm really hoping that I'm doing the best I can. Because I just feel like coming to church, coming to small groups, coming to life groups, it just opens my heart to see all you guys. Especially Tim and Bob and Patty and everybody else. Thank you, Father, for coming to the Bible studies. We just love you, having you there. It just reminds me of Grandpa. You know, just really enjoy you. Thank you for Tim for coming to Christ next month on the 4th.
I want to thank Tim and Bob for doing 2 Corinthians. And I think every book of the Bible is just so precious. But I'm 61 years old now, and I've made it through several big trials in my life. And I'll share with you in chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians. Some of these are verses when I first was learning to read my Bible, I just had to go round and round. I couldn't put it together because the reality of these Bible verses is so new to us in life on earth and in life with God, coming closer to a relationship with God. And so these things are so new when we really start hitting the fan with pain or death or loss of a loved one and things like that. But I just today want to say hear to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says, in the very beginning of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says, you Corinthians are going through many of the same troubles that he had to as a young Christian. And that, keep strong, guys, because whenever you have pain or suffering or mental anguish in anything, God is going to comfort you because God is a God of comfort. And I used to never really believe that. I just thought, boy, that is the one thing I have never had in my life. I've been, as a child, a small child, live in high panic, high anxiety. You know, teachers yelling at me all the time, like, quit bouncing off the walls, quit pacing, quit being such a nervous wreck, you know. They just thought I was a bad kid, but I was just anxiety, panic is natural in this world for me. And so when I would read this at first, there's a lot of things when I first started reading the Bible, I honestly didn't believe them. When it says our God is a God of order and power, I just thought, not for me, man. I'm missing out on that, wherever it is. You know, I don't see God as a God of order. I see everything as complete chaos, you know. But, and this was another one, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He promises all of us in this room and the Word, keep, just hang in there with your problems. He's with you the whole way, and he's not afraid to let the wind blow on you and to let the water wave up and crash down on you. He's not afraid because he's there with you, and he wants you to get to know him better. And we get to know him when good things happen for us, and we get to know him when we have to wait for a good day or something. We get to know him better. So anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul revealed to me in writing that, he says, you Corinthians are just like me. You're going through the same kind of trials with people outside of the church or people inside the church. You're going through all the same kind of troubles that I had to go through. But I promise you, in your problems, God will comfort you. So every day, folks, every day, no matter how fierce the battle seems, look for the comfort. Look for God's comfort, either if it's a word in his Bible or a person or a thing. Just look for the comfort. And he goes, in this training, you will learn how to comfort other people. You guys, what my friend Amy Skilling is going through right now is a condition all women will have to go through. It's horrible. And you know, we blow it off in American culture of, no, women are just like men. Women will always be an athlete person. Women will always be military, great army service people. But we get older and we change. And Amy is going through complete pain, head to toe, all day long, can't even sleep. And so her whole system is just changing from a young woman to a middle-aged woman. She's in that now. I am 9 years out of that. This is the best I have ever felt physically, ever. This is the best health I have ever, ever been in my life. And I'm 61, so hang in there, girls. Hang in there. But by God's grace, he has seen fit to just heal me from everything. So I feel that our God is a God of comfort, and now he can use me, maybe the very comfort that I got from God's word, I can share with other people when they're going through pain or heart problems that come with aging. And all these addictions. I was a food addict. You know, Billie Jean says she has an alcohol problem. I had a food addict problem. And so it's so long ago, I don't even remember anymore. I forget to comfort people because I forget that I went through these things. So anyway, and then I want you to remember also 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, verse 10. Paul, who had been through beatings, he had been through shipwrecks, he had had friends reject him and leave him alone in the midst of lions, you know. He had been through a lot of suffering. Anyway, when he says in 2 Corinthians 12, 10, when I am weak, then I am strong. And I see that every day. Every day I just get a little shaky about, ooh, this isn't turning out as good as I wanted it to turn out. Or that person isn't as happy as I wanted them to be. And God just, I always, always, even raising my children, I thought, this isn't working. I'm ruining their lives. My children are not going to learn how to be good people from me because I'm not a good enough example. You know, if it all depends on me, they're never going to make it. And the Lord has often just said, hey, everything that makes you feel weak, he's going to turn into power. And so it says in 2 Corinthians, okay, but it says in 2 Corinthians 12, 10, when I am weak, I am strong, because everybody gets to see God come through instead of me. So never forget that. 2 Corinthians 12, 10, when I am weak, there's some real power of Jesus about me.
There is one thing I definitely want to touch on, is that I used to be in a Bible study back when me and my father were still a part of Stone Ridge. It was a Tuesday morning Bible study that my dad ran. It was a Tuesday morning breakfast. There were guys like Charlie Coffee that showed up. Well, when we were forced to leave Stone Ridge, that Bible study kind of fell apart. So, back when I started at the hotel job, I finally had my Wednesdays open. So that's when I really started to attend Tim's Bible study on Wednesday mornings there at the game store. And last week, we kind of ran into a little thing where Tim was a little late. So, we were kind of waiting for him there. And I will say, if it wasn't for the confidence that I have built up over the years and reading 2 Corinthians, that I was able to kind of take a little bit of a role in leading that Bible study that morning. Also, I'd like to thank Natalie for chipping in as well. Don't underestimate that little woman over there. She definitely is pretty good at helping co-lead a Bible study. And sometimes Jay can be a little interrupting sometimes. Sorry to say it, Jay, but it is true. It is true. But I will say, since I've been joining that Bible study now, I really like enjoying it and really getting in the Bible. And I haven't felt that in years. So I just want to say I'm glad that Tim lets me come to that Bible study. Yep. Thank you.
You know, this sincerity is a big word throughout 2 Corinthians. I think what do we call that? Those chapters, Tim, the Great Digression. Yeah, the Great Digression was all about Paul's sincere faith. Thank you, Billy. Thank you, Amy. Thank you for things that are hard to divulge sometimes. We tend to want to suffer alone. or hide. Just, you know, there are parts that are uncomfortable to let us know. So, but as we saw here this morning, we are in this together. And I'm up here to introduce the offering time. But I was thinking about this before we came. This didn't happen just because of this morning, but I was thinking of this, that it's an opportunity for us. God is building here, and we're part of it. We're part of it. And our offering is a way for us to release. Billy, you wanted to let us know. I think the same thing is, God, we want to let you know. We want to let you know I'm in this. I'm in this with you. You've got my heart. You got my life. That's what I want the rest of my life. Going on 48 years, I think, something like that. And that was what I prayed that night. You can have it now. It's yours. It's our opportunity to put that into actions. Let's pray. God, I thank you. Thank you for the honesty here shared this morning. You know, Patty was sharing about comfort, and we get it. It is a joy for us to share comfort with one another. We've all been through stuff like this. Thank you for this opportunity to demonstrate our heart, to have an outlet for our joy here with the offering. We ask you, God, that you would, I remember 1 John, John said, we'll know by this when we let us not love with deeds, words, with just words, but in deeds and in truth. And we'll know by this that we're of the truth. So thank you for the opportunities we have to grow in confidence in our relationship with you. Please bless the offering and the givers in Jesus' name. Amen.